I'd like us to right away try to detect what healing would mean for the people involved here and for the situation. And it seems to me that healing is a very complex process, that there are signs of healing and then there is falling back into a more fragmented and painful situation again, and also that there seems to be on one hand a process of healing taking place, and then on the other hand there's a process of dissolution. Is that it? Other things breaking up. So if we could try to detect the two processes of healing and of deterioration and see how they are wound up with each other. Has anybody noticed how this healing process takes place? What would you what do you see as the first sign of healing? If we try to take one person at a time, perhaps, and talk about how healing takes place for Khan.
I think for Khan it starts when he can finally talk to somebody about the situation, when he sees a psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
who later becomes also a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first sign of healing in the whole book isn't probably even mentioned, but it's a caring that isn't well, a healing that isn't well developed, and it's mixed up, but it's the father's concern. And he's mixed up with it, but he's concerned enough to make sure that his son gets into the psychiatric unit and talks to him, even though it gets mixed up and it doesn't do the things he wants it to do at the beginning.
And makes the appointment so he'll go to the birther.
True, because that's addressing the fact that, yeah, there's a problem, and I think it got verbalized when the psychiatrist said something about real problems have real solutions, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or real pain mm-hmm. has real problems behind it, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because denial is completely mm-hmm. unconstructive, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what the mom was doing.
The therapy is described in a very positive way as far as I see it, and I think that there are really some important things going on and some important things being said and some feelings uncovered, which is of course good, but it seems almost as if the therapy takes the place of people in general being able to communicate honestly about what is happening. It is true that the father is really concerned, etc., but he feels inadequate himself at dealing with the son about this problem, and so they had to go this way about the therapy to
cure the thought of all the guilt the father had, and how that book by Scott Peck about the road less traveled describes two kinds of people: one that just feels completely responsible, and so much so that they're completely unable to function or communicate,
mm-hmm.
and somebody who feels completely unresponsible. There are words, I think, one's neurotic
yeah.
and one's something else. And I was just thought, it occurred to me that the mom was probably one, the father was probably the other.
Uh-huh, yeah. And actually, I was a little surprised about the father saying that Khan is so very much alike his mother,
yeah.
because I see the son also being the type, like the father, who feels responsible for everything, that everything goes well, and who takes the responsibility when it doesn't, and really feel this heavy guilt.
Yeah,
and where his main problem perhaps is that he feels that love is something he has to deserve. Mm. Pardon, what were you saying?
I think he made the comment in the sense that you're both, was it perfectionists, and so maybe they both felt like they had to deserve love, or maybe
yeah.
I thought the mom just couldn't love herself enough to, I mean, that's the first step to loving somebody else, and she just couldn't get to the point where she did that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she could love Buck because Buck wasn't like her, and it's easier maybe to love the people that aren't just like us. So maybe she had a tougher time loving Conrad because he reminded her of the things in herself that she couldn't love and weren't healed.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe self-acceptance, although I'm not sure what that would be. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that would be an important similarity, the lack of self-acceptance.
Another word in common for Conrad and his mother was the word control. When he went to Berger, he wanted to be in control, and that's what she needed always, to be in control of the house. It had to be just so. Well, her family, this image, and she had to control that, and she had to know where all the pieces were, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be in control of himself and all the pieces in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So she also lashed out once at her husband that I don't want to be manipulated,
yeah.
That's what she saw in the
attempt. She didn't know about grabbing up.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Which she didn't know about his grabbing up the swim team. Mm-hmm. If she was
yeah.
Oh, I just say something about when healing started. I think maybe it sounds weird, but Fritz last week said that we're going to have to think about fear and pain as being part of the healing process. That without that, it can't start. I think with that young man, you know, the pain and the nightmares and the fear of what he didn't do or what he did do, that's where the healing starts. That's where the awareness first. Comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking back on some things in my life, I think fear and pain is where the healing really starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recognizes that. But without that, nothing else would take place.
Yeah.
The problem would be recognized as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to interject that. So.
Yeah. I think there's a very important statement. Berger says, if you can't feel pain, you can't feel anything at all. And he keeps pushing Conrad to allow himself to feel that pain or go through that pain,
right.
and also allow him to feel the anger that is connected with the pain, apparently. And I think very often we have not. We've been afraid of allowing ourselves to feel or express that anger which is connected with it, because it has been seen as something bad or negative.
Right.
Something I caught myself wondering, there's no answer for it, but the father referred to him at one place when the psychiatrist asked him, "So you consider yourself a lucky man because of something?" He said, "No, not now," but he did at one time before all this happened. He had this loving
mm-hmm.
wife and so on. And the thing that keeps occurring to me is, what would have been the situation in this family if Buck had not drowned, if there had not been this accident? Because obviously there was relationships that were not right. I mean, it didn't just start then, that they couldn't communicate and so
mm-hmm.
on. And you know, here there's a vehicle for all of this coming out.
Yeah.
But things wouldn't have been right anyway. And so you wonder how it would have manifested itself then, or what kind of situation. It was kind of just that this is things that you could focus all on. But it would have needed to be a lot of healing if that hadn't happened too. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what forces people to have a look at themselves and their own situation. I was surprised that Cal somewhere says that the death of Buck wasn't really the reason for all this happening, that the root cause was to be found, you know, further back, different backgrounds, etc., that it all started before this situation, because I had, till then, I had read the whole book, you know, as this is the conflict and the suffering rising out of this death, but that the reason is to be found further back.
I think, too, that the thing that boy portrayed in the movie is an adolescent. And that's when the powers of the family start separating, when one's, you know, through adolescence, trying to get your own identity. And mother, of course, didn't like that. And the son, that's just the natural phase of going through it. The accident is coincided with that period.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a struggle when you don't have an identity until you try to get one in the family. I mean, become a parent. I think that's just the timing. And it would take, this, something like this would take place anyway. It wouldn't, when I asked it, but it's because it's the adolescent stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually when it comes out.
But at the same time, it doesn't seem as if there was a stronger bond between mother and son, which was being broken up during his adolescence. It seems as if they had bad communication or none all along.
Family, sure.
Yeah.
Did she love him?
I guess it would be true to say that she probably did in her own inadequate, limited way.
You mean Beth loved Cal?
What's the standard for inadequacy?
The son, I guess.
She loved him more, or it was expected to do that, her role.
I thought she said, when they were playing golf, how can I not love my son?
Mother's
so
love.
Kind of forced love.
I see.
Yeah, she's being attacked by that. I could hear people saying that thing. Mm-hmm. I really got the feeling she wrote very deeply.
I thought it was a very poignant one in the scene with the psychiatrist where he was talking to God and saying, you know, in practice, that she loves you as much as she's able. This idea of his expectations for her was different than what she was able to.
Mm-hmm.
I think if she didn't, in a sense, if she didn't love him, it wouldn't have made her feel so alienated to feel that the father's son were, of course, that was her withdrawing from the husband, too, that she got.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say, Anna, that you thought that she really loved?
Yeah, my piece. Mm-hmm.
How?
Yeah, how did you see it?
From the movie. And I think it's very reasonable that everything she did could happen while she's loving very deeply. Everything she did, I thought, well, that was a normal family. I don't mean godly or righteous or anything. It was terribly normal relationships. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say, what about, you know, whether it was a healthy family or not? And again, what sense is health? Is it aware of all of your problems? Is it working on them? Is it resolving them? And then what do you have? Some kind of perfection? I don't know. I wasn't mm-hmm. willing yet to say healthy family, but I thought it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were struggling about all of it. And, let's say Buck hadn't died, then what? You know, there were simply other kinds of things.
I just have a hard time seeing her love. part. She doesn't show it to me at all.
Not physically, anyway.
Having faith.
Oh, no.
She never touched or did much of that anywhere.
Isn't part of love reaching out, breaking down, submitting? No.
Not in some part of the public, I feel. She's so afraid.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about how people have problems with expressing themselves or living out their feelings or even getting in touch with their feelings, and how difficult relationships are to handle. That things turn out differently, and we act differently, or people perceive us in a way we don't want them to perceive us, etc. So that, you know, our intention is one thing, and how things work out is another thing.
She said two part of her inability to show the love was because she was feeling for herself that she was so rejected. She felt the son had no love for her, too.
But then in the movie, a scene that really jumped out for me was seeing how when they came back and he said, "I'm really glad you're back," and came over and hugged her, and she was stunned. And then she turned away from her husband, who sat there just watching, smiling, really.
But the pain she was just so filled with pain at that moment of not being able to relate to that.
I guess I blame her, because I figure that she's had more years on this planet to try to work stuff like that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for maybe a scapegoat, but I'm blaming her.
Yeah. Yeah, I would almost see her as the main problem rather than the son, because after all, the son reached out now and then, and he wanted to deal with it. Well, he both wanted to and didn't want to, but it seemed that he had to, because he couldn't handle just burying it as she wanted to.
And that's what I thought was normal. The situation is they're normal. There's one person reaching out, the other person often is not able to accept it. Mm-hmm. The very reaching out pushes the other person away.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it would be nice when you say, "Well, I'll reach out to you, you'll reach out to me, and we'll all be together."
Yeah.
The normality is that often. The saddest scene was the cab pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the closet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shocked, maybe.
I thought maybe that was it.
Right.
I'd seen before. Does she really go? I don't know.
Right. Right.
When the cab door slammed, she went away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't sad just for her. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You think it was fear that she didn't want to change, and all the pain that was involved with change is what she was afraid of? Rather than deal with anything, she got in the cab, or one comment was made, It would have been so easy if we hadn't had this mess. But you can't handle messes, Beth, and how messes cause change, and change causes pain. And she'd rather have, you know, like the neat carpet and tiling in the bathroom, and the mess. That was a big, awkward line about it. She just couldn't handle the tile.
The
bathroom had to be rerouted, and I remember another line that seemed to talk about how she was so obsessed with being accepted by maybe the world, or feeling like she was on the world stage for scrutiny, even at the funeral, when she was concerned about what her husband wore, you know, not those shoes, but these shoes.
It'd be interesting to see the book written maybe from a different point of view, because all through, you know exactly what Kahn and Calvin are thinking.
Yeah.
You're always talking about that. You have no idea. She's
Very peripheral.
Her parents,
mm-hmm.
who cleaned their bathroom, and all the other kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
and I just think that she's always kind of that shadowy figure. I mean, you just hear perceptions about her, but have no idea what's going on. But it would just be interesting, because you know exactly what the father and son.
You got a taste of what her parents were like in the kitchen
when
she was talking about, you know, was he Jewish? You know, like, that was a big issue. And at the golf course, was it her sister-in-law or brother that was, I thought it was such a shallow thing. "Oh, we just want you to be happy, Beth," she said when they were in the middle of a pretty heated argument.
But that was so normal, too.
Oh, yeah.
Respond like that.
Yeah.
I think as far as Beth's reaction and sensitivity to, you know, her losing one son and then her other son trying to off himself, I really don't think that is being too sensitive, because I personally work with people who have tried to kill themselves in their home, or their families have tried to kill themselves. And most of the people I know have either had to move out of that house or at least remodel the whole thing. It's just the shock of somebody, every time they come into the bathroom, they think of, oh, this is where he tried to kill himself. Did he try to kill himself because of me? So I think in a lot of ways it wasn't necessarily, she obviously wasn't a warm person, but the sense that she might lose her other son, why did he try to kill himself? A lot of times, it might be because of Buck, it might be because of the relationship.
I thought another time I was so struck is when there was this one evidence of where actions were showing healing taking place, when the father and son were able to have this good relationship going out to cut the Christmas tree. This wasn't brought out in the movie at all, but in the book, how the father was able to let him make the decisions and go ahead, and they were really enjoying this and so on. And it was one of the first times that we could see where there was some real healing going on between them, and then that's the very time when the mother had found out, and of course it blew up into this terrible scene then, because she had found out with the swimming team. But to me too, that would be very, very normal for a mother to be terribly embarrassed to have a good friend of hers say something about her son quitting the swimming team and then have to face up to the fact that she didn't even know about it and act very stupid and so on. I've worked with a lot of parents as a guidance counselor, and that would too be so typical. I mean, that wouldn't be making her an extremely insensitive person. That's an extremely normal reaction for a parent if they've been for a month not to have known that. I mean, I could see her feeling there, how she would have been.
It's normal, but it's still sad. If I were a parent, I would hope that I would think, what's wrong, you know? And even if it were my friend, I guess I wouldn't feel so much embarrassed as so much concern that this is a big thing for him, and he quit, and he didn't tell us, so it must be really a big thing, and I wondered what it is.
She had several hours to sort of cool down on the way home. It wasn't like she just reacted at the instant.
Yeah,
but that's some real growing, and all I'm saying is that's ordinary people to react that way much more often than they would act in this sensitive way.
Oh, right.
Because that's what I meant.
Right. I'm saying that's so sad.
Right.
I see it both ways. Maybe she cooled down, or maybe she was just hashing it through. Mm-hmm. I was feeling ready to get home.
That very incident was really healing on the long run, because that was the first time he was able to vent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he ran to the psychiatrist again, and that's the first time he finally recognized something about this forgiveness, and that involved forgiving himself too.
I thought the comment he made was so apt about you don't see things, Dad, everything's jello and pudding with you.
Yeah.
And how I think everybody in that movie probably felt that way, because your feelings are so clear to you, and if other people can't see them, you think everything's jello and pudding to them.
There was an interesting footnote in the book that she had kept all of their school papers, and just that she really had expressed love in terms of saving everything that they'd ever done, and not just Bucks, but Conrad's as well. So what they did and who they were was important to her, but she just was not able to allow the acceptance of the differences, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, because again, that's not in control, that's not something that she could determine. It was outside of herself, she had no ability to control that, so it's fearful. This person is going to become something completely other than yourself, and to be able to accept that takes a lot of maturity that I don't think she ever would have developed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the love was there. And at the end of the book, it sounded more hopeful when she was coming home to her parents' house and kind of talking in those terms, there would be maybe renewed communication.
Yeah. Did he go over and visit his mom at the end?
It seemed like he was going to, or the possibility was there.
Possibility. I thought that was the beginning point of her healing. When you said the saddest part was when the taxi left. To me, that was almost a part of rejoicing, because somewhere they were, that was rock bottom for her, and the only place to go then was to try to learn something and heal from there.
This is the first time she reacted other than violently, and so maybe the first time something sank in and was taking root, and she was thinking instead of reacting.
Could be. Separation is often violent.
Right, yeah. It certainly wasn't escape, but she was running and all that negative stuff. But
it could have been a lot. There's a little bit of some used to call it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Do you think that there would be healing for her too? Mm-hmm. It just seemed so ingrained in her personality to just hold on to the facade of things and refuse to have a closer look at the real problem and at herself. So I was doubting that there would be healing for her, that she simply just left because she could not handle the problem, and that she would, I don't know, soothe herself with golf and tennis and try to uphold the ideal of you know, life as pleasure.
And if she would find healing, would that necessarily mean she'd go back to the husband and son?
Mm-hmm.
It's a question that comes to mind.
Because of pride?
I don't think so.
And that was a word that I associated with Beth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that strata of society, it's definitely different from what I grew up with. Yeah, I see a lot of similarities. Looking in terms of a woman, small children, the depression that can happen when they're small and you don't have any support, and she obviously didn't. But she had even less than like I had when my kids were little because of her social status. Because you didn't admit that things weren't perfect, and you didn't admit that everything didn't run smoothly, and that you weren't the model parent, and that, you know, she had to keep up that image. When my kids were little and horrible and I hated it and I threw tantrums, and I identified totally with her. You know, the spilled cereal on the floor and stuff, and there's times you just, you know, break down and cry and scream and slam doors because you're so tired of continually picking up and cleaning up and doing, you know, all night long and all day long. You have to do constantly for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I could, you know, where my social status was, I could vent that a lot of places, and I did. So hopefully grew through it and worked through it and all that. She was never able to. I really felt sorry for her.
Mm-hmm.
That social status, boy, on top of all of that, she had to maintain that image.
Mm-hmm. She seemed so lonely and so isolated. Mm-hmm. She can't confide in anybody.
Those white lawns are big seniors.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. I read a review on this movie when it came out in Sojourners magazine.
Oh.
And I don't always agree with the viewpoints, but what the editors there said that in essence these weren't ordinary people. And I guess myself, I felt that there was a lot of things that could cross socioeconomic levels in the movie and the book, and that these weren't necessarily afflictions and ways of coping with problems that were different. And do you think a Southside Chicago family would deal differently than somebody up in Downers Grove?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think it would be, you know, it goes to the bowling alley. Instead of her going to the wedding room, she goes to something in Berwyn or whatever else, goes to another place. But a lot of places can be occupied. Cracked up families, you know, in terms of not being able to communicate with each other. I haven't seen any less on the Southside Chicago.
So you think the emotions would be, this book was a fairly representative of a family conflict in the socioeconomic levels?
It was real to me, and I think that the conflict could happen at at any socioeconomic level. It would be worked out, played out with a view that friends to pop off to that. That's a big healthy thing. And a lot of women that I've counseled, often more so than men, have one other person that they can let off to. It didn't seem that she did at all. Right? But even then, I know some people in Lake Forest where that was shot, and they're terribly healthy people, in conflict with a lot of stuff going around them. But, you know, they have friends and all that stuff, and this kind of job didn't happen. And they even play golf. But, they're also healthy.
Yeah, I thought that was a very unfair review. I just thought that the editor was narrow and just couldn't see beyond the big car. But
so you would say that this family situation would be typical of our culture, like the American culture, also European culture for that matter. The upper middle class, perhaps, because I was asking myself that question: what if it had been in a lower class, which would have less resources to work with? On one hand, which would perhaps make conditions worse, but on the other hand, they couldn't hold on to surface so much; they couldn't stay aloof. That would perhaps force them to deal more with the problem.
If you talk working class or something like that, then I'd say, not. I was in the hospital, all the working class, a couple years ago, all being visited. They were all going on their second vacation for so I mean, that's not a lot different, you know, but having a big car and all this stuff. But if you make the move below that,
because I could imagine that communication perhaps would be tougher and harsher in that milieu, but that there would be more communication.
I always thought we were middle class, but we never had any vacations at all. That's
what you mean. We'd go without vacation, or just, you know, we'd squeeze into 3 weeks. Everyone on their second one.
Kids all vacation.
That one time when Burger said to Conrad,
Conrad says he feels that he's in a box by himself and he can't get out and he can't let anybody in, and that's probably true of them. They're each in their box and they...
I guess roles have changed too. But I thought the woman played the male role, traditional male role, and the male played the female role with all the feelings. I thought that was a switch, and maybe it's because of the woman's movement, I don't know. They're younger than my family. But I don't seem, you know, I think from my dad's 50s, in that standard, the roles were reversed.
Yeah, that the mother is often the one who seeks the reconciliation. Mm-hmm.
Right, and she wouldn't leave the house, he would leave the house, she would stay with the house.
Right.
You know, the whole thing, everything was backwards to me, right, from my point of view.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Another thing, I don't think we got a clear picture of when. What's the body?
Cal.
Sort of began to change. I mean, I see Conrad when he first quit. I mean, you could tell when he decided that he couldn't cover it up anymore, hide it anymore, because he tried to kill himself. And the mother, when she finally decided that she couldn't just cover it up and not see it, she left. And that's a big statement for her, because that's not covering it up anymore. That's actually admitting something. But I could never find out where the father came to that big hump that then he started looking toward healing.
We told the psychiatrist, I guess, I think I know why I came now, to start talking about myself. I thought it was sort of turning. He was kind of hungry to see the truth and the whole picture from the beginning. I thought it was neat when in the backyard, with the father exploded a little bit and said something to the effect of, no, don't do that. And then was just ready to apologize, and Khan said, oh, you should do that more often. And it was such a good feeling to know my dad cares. And that's something that hadn't happened all his life, because maybe on one hand his dad was too gentle, or was afraid Khan was too hard on himself already. And maybe the mom, I don't know, cared in some way that it was too painful to explode.
Or another scene comes to mind for Calvin when he was up in the night crying. And you know, she got there. She didn't say. She said, I feel like I'm all felt about him.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't know if he loved her anymore. And it's like you could put all of the buck business aside. And it's like talking about problems arriving before that death, and how that's just really intensified everything away, for sure. But it comes to mind for me like a big breakthrough.
And that's what he told her that after he talked to the psychiatrist. She was finally, that was his only way to talk to somebody about it and find out what his feeling was for his own.
I may be wrong, but what struck me is that was added in the nuclear.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such an important
thing. It quoted her exactly saying, him exactly saying, do you love me? And that was her response. I never have changed feeling about you the way I always have. But in the book, it does not have him saying to her, I'm not sure I love you anymore. Okay? And,
Another scene was when Cal asked Beth about why was it so important for you that I wore certain clothes for the funeral, which really brings out her, you know, how obsessed she is with order and tidiness and surface and so on. But that isn't in the book,
either. Those were the few additions that
we... The backyard scene, I think, wasn't there either. They gave her a few points there. Just she tried to reach out that instant. She walked in the backyard and wanted to initiate some kind of meaningful conversation.
He started
barking.
Or the or the intimate scene between Cal and Jeannie. Conrad and Jeannie. Peaches and cream. And when she asked him why he did it, etc. No, in bed, not in a cafe.
That's the opposite.
Yeah.
That's something that
had
in it
that the movie portrayed different. Yeah. I was just sure there were a few things in the movie, in the VCR, that were cut out from that I'd seen the movie before.
Also that intimate scene that takes place between Khan and Janine, and which I think really meant healing to him. This wasn't in the movie.
But the final thing too, which was healing with his friend Lazarus, that wasn't in the movie. But a movie has to let out some things.
Yeah.
It's interesting which things they decided to do. Mm-hmm.
But then, like you said, some parts are just direct and word by word.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think that the mother was afraid to go to the psychiatrist after both the son and husband's business? He invited her to go, and she wouldn't go.
Well, what do you think?
Well, just that would be, of course, admission of uncontrol, that I need help controlling.
Yeah.
Because she had seen changes.
She what?
She had seen things that had changed in coming. like he was able to let out his frustration, and she wanted, she didn't want to.
Oh, she didn't want to let out her own frustration.
Right.
So.
With the admit of being wrong, like we were talking yesterday, mental health is just kind of overlooked a lot. It's not the right thing to do. Everybody's supposed to be in control.
And then have to change it.
She'd have to take responsibility for it and change it. And she'd like things the way they were, that if you can cover it up and make it look just right, that's the way she wanted it to be.
And to have to be confronted with negative feelings, the pain and the anger. And that's again a question for me. It seems that anger is a necessary part for healing to take place, but how do we handle anger? Because it is painful and it can hurt, and could perhaps even hurt so much that healing couldn't take place. I mean, how do we deal with anger?
The other thing I wondered, for those of you who can come at it from a married perspective, we keep talking about, it's very easy for us to put Beth in the more negative role, and if we experience sense her pain and so on, still she comes across as you mentioned, she came across to you as the primary cause of the problem and so on. But what about her feeling that she got no support from anyone? Should there have been ways that Cal could have given her that support, or was she so one-sided that was impossible? And she really felt alienated from her husband, that the son and husband had lined up against her, and that, I assume anyway, a wife would usually feel that the husband's first concern should be to. In other words, was Cal at fault in the husband-wife relationship at all, or was it? Did she make it impossible for him to offer support?
In a certain way, she sort of set it up. I mean, I see not going to the hospital at all as forcing or as enabling Cal and Conrad to get closer together and have some experiences that she is choosing not to be a part of. All those experiences are so important in their life together. So in one sense, she's just taking herself, setting herself up to be not part of that relationship.
The problem hadn't started there, though. It started when it was regular. I think that's the time when a mother does really feel isolated, and I don't know that any man knows how to deal with that. For one thing, I think as a woman, you somehow expect that they should understand how you're feeling and empathize and support that. And they don't. And they can't unless you tell them. And she wasn't the kind of person that could say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's making me angry, you know, this is what I need from you. I don't think she could do that, because I don't think she was willing to admit that she needed anything. And until you say, I need this, your husband can't give you that support. And a man comes home from work and he doesn't understand why you're getting upset because the toys are out of place or you have another dirty diaper to wash. I mean, they just, you know, that isn't a part of where they're at all day long. And they don't understand the frustration and the pain and the feeling of being dumped and burdened with that whole thing while they go off to work every day. I mean, they can walk to work and ignore the dirty diapers.
And the habit and the boredom of it.
And you can't. You're just trapped within that situation. There's no way to get out of that. Mm-hmm.
And later when she did try to express a bit how she felt, when she wanted them to get away together or say, I think we need this or John, I guess then the situation was such that it seemed impossible.
I know lots and lots of mothers that are really jealous of the relationship between their children and their husband. That relationship is, I mean, it's great. Daddy comes home from work and he plays with the kids and they have dinner together and they love each other. And here I've been bearing the brunt of this garbage all day. The kids more than often hate me because I've yelled at them most of the day. And they love Daddy. Mm-hmm. And Daddy comes home and showers attention on them, and he doesn't, you know,
do the same kind of attention on the harried housewife that's really looking frowsy and down. And and I mean, I've got lots of friends that really have a lot of struggle, especially with their daughters. Jealousy. The little girl that dad just idolizes. And that's wonderful. And yeah, I can really relate to. I want to get away alone, just the two of us. I don't want this person along anymore that's coming between us all the time.
Most of that was just unhealthy. Her wanting to escape and it run away from the problem.
Part of it, but I think that's really, it's very, very
difficult. Yeah, and do you think it would solve things to get away in this situation, or for you? Is
to get away.
It's sad how guilt seems to be such a self-perpetuating problem and pain. She grew up feeling guilty, couldn't go to the hospital to face a problem, so her son started feeling unloved and guilty, like he didn't deserve that love, and made her feel more guilty. And it's a tough cycle to break.
I wonder how much the pattern in itself means that the family pattern changes from being mom and dad and two kids, two mm-hmm. sons, to being this triad or triangle, or more like three equal persons. That there are more
right.
tensions mm-hmm. just
there
because
was four.
Of the, yeah, I think that would change a lot of the communication
mom.
Relating.
Right, mom, Faith Buck, or whoever his name was, told a son. And then it had to change the relationship because that guy was going out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And there was maybe right from the start, that's why the father picked up the slack with the second child. You know, and there was a coalition way back, like you're saying. So then there was nobody for the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt like they were getting up, and the whole thing switched, the whole relationship switched again.
Yeah.
From the book that Bob asked me to do that, it tend like the mother care more about the older sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More than the father. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what
yeah.
makes me so upset when one of the parents cares more about the child and
yeah.
their relationship, because then everything gets helter-skelter.
Uh-huh. But also that there is an
it doesn't have to be that way.
No. But it often happens, and it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Because of the person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was very healing for her when she said, a mother doesn't hate her son. If she would have said, a mother can hate her son, it would have been very healing if she would have admitted at that time, yes, a mother can hate her children.
Mm-hmm.
And she hated her son.
That. Well, you can.
That's why she hated her son for that movie. That's how I felt.
Have
you
both hated and loved him?
I think she did, and that's a part of it. You can't at times, and I think you need to recognize that. If you don't, healing's not going to happen. It's just recognizing a part of your humanness, and then being able to work with that, and forgive yourself. And you know, forgive yourself for the hate. I'm sure she did feel.
And forgive that son.
But until she admits she even felt what she can't forgive herself for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see her as loving, that's all I can say. I cannot scrounge up an inch of love. And that, I didn't read the book, okay, from it's all a movie. And from the movie, I can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Any loving coming out. None.
I think she showed it by the way she was raised. This is what a typical mother, from the way I was raised, handles things. And this is, and she just, family tradition or whatever, circle unbroken. That's how she would.
Well, I don't see it as love. I don't know.
Well, it may not be love to you, but it was how she was raised with love. There's love to her.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to see a difference between to love.
I think so, for here.
Anna.
I think we often forget the difference between to love a person and to love what the person is doing. And I think
what was she doing?
She did love her son. But
but not the situation, and not the feelings that he had, the frustration, and the hard time he went through. She was suffering with him and hated to do that.
I don't see you suffering with him. I see you running away, ignoring the whole problem. Uh-huh. And, you know, why was she there in the first place? Well, she had a nice house, he's well taken care of. I see it. I don't see anything. That's where I'm coming from. I don't see it.
That's okay.
So. Did you see in the movie where they were in the garage? And I think it was
she did come up to him.
And they just she just held him while he was crying.
Yeah, that's true. There's some compassion there. But then it was only for a few seconds. She had to get back and do something else, I think, wasn't it? I don't know how long. That doesn't matter, but she did reach out.
And she surely suffered, John, just over and over. Like, it's one place where she put her hands in when she said, I can't stand this, I really can't. If it's starting all over again, the lying, the disappearing for hours, the covering up, won't stand it. Well, her way of reacting isn't what we like to see, but she surely suffered.
It was such a selfish suffering, and I hear you, John, I just didn't. I was mad at her. If I'd had something to throw, I'd have whipped it right at the all her suffering was me suffering. It was, well, they said in the movie, how does this affect me? I felt that was.
I would have liked to have seen the relationship between Buck's death and the time he tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
What happened between those, I'm not real clear on what the dynamics were. I mean, if she was cool toward him or angry at him because he survived, as he suspected, or because he had tried to kill himself and she was angry at the pain he inflicted. I don't know.
Yeah, right in the beginning of the movie, it was very, again, you use the word normal, but, talking and not deep communication, but that's the way most families are, too.